8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus.
Jesus.
This is Heir Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
Amen. Turn with me in your Bible to Mark 11, 22. Amen. Now, really, Mark 11, 22, the key you, then we'll go to Hebrews 11, then we'll come back and we'll go to Daniel. I might not go to all those, but you just write them down anyway. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Amen. Since the just shall live by faith, but faith worketh by love. Can you say amen? You look and say, well, faith is powerful, but God is love. So on this message this morning, I want to share with you on, praise God, strategic Christianity, amen. Strategic preparation, amen. I shared strategic necessities on, I think it was Wednesday, but I want to give you a strategic preparation for the believer. Strategic preparation for the believer. Okay, I'm going to read Mark 11. Says, Jesus answered, said unto them, have faith in God. He said, therefore I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou what? Removed, and be thou what? Cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe. See, you call the believer, but shall believe that those things which he what? Says shall come to what? Pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. Okay, now then it goes down, and somebody say fundamentals. Because see, inside of this, these are serious fundamentals. They apply to every aspect of manifestation, bringing it from the spirit world into the natural. Are you with me? See, the things you want and to ask God for, God's already said yes. He's already made them available. Are you with me? Well, how can you say he's already made them available? Okay, somebody says strategic believing. Now, the reason he's already made them available, because that's how you got saved. When you received salvation, it was already bought, purchased, wrapped up, and waiting on you. God didn't get up and say, well, let me go on and save brothers, save so-and-so. They want to be saved. Let me go over and save them. No, he didn't have to do anything. What God had to do was already done. Everything pertaining to victory in your life by God has already been done. It's done? You mean it's done? Why don't have the raise now? You haven't prayed and believed it. You're not confessing it. There's a process. Somebody say the process. Hey, Tiana. There's a process. The new baby. One of my new members that live out of town. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Amen. So, in any case, I want to welcome the Facebook people watching my Facebook and the people listening on the broadcast. 107.9. Amen. God bless you. Come visit. Amen. Your life will be changed. You need to be strategic. With all the Bible verses you know, all of those Bible verses that you have, you must be able to compartmentalize, realize, actualize, and make application in your life, or you'll just be a good believer that know a lot about the Bible. God wants some victory in your life. He wants you to take the territory. He wants you to live as the head and not the tail. He doesn't want you sick every year. He wants you weller than you ever been in manifestation. He doesn't want you trying to make it. He's already made it, and his make it don't have no trying left in it. Amen. He's made you the head and not the tail. You're not who you used to be. And strategically, you must understand that. You are face the devil and his demons and circumstances, and the circumstances will lie to you about your own identity and tell you what you cannot do. And the word is said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You've got to change your outlook on some things. And you've got, because you've gone all this long just being a good church person, talking to my Facebook people today. That's why it doesn't look like it's working for you. The part that's going to work is when you die and see Jesus. That's going to work, but you don't want to go yet. So you want the on this side part to work. Come on, somebody. And so we're showing you how to make application, amen, of the Word of God. So I thank God that you're tuned in, you're plugged in, get your Bible, open your Bible. You're not going to learn it all in one session, but you got a slight edge. You got to get day by day, and God will show you. Amen? And I'm going to give you the word to make it quicker so you'll know how to go through it quicker and go to the word and get it. Amen? All right. Thank you. So that was for the Facebook and the people listening on radio as well as the people here. Amen? All right. So in knowing in Mark 11:22, the fundamentals, and when he says, whosoever shall say on this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt his heart. Amen. Shall not doubt his heart. Amen. But shall believe those things which he what? Which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he what? Saith. When he said you shall have, that means it will be in the manifestation. The process of bringing it from the spirit realm, because it's already in existence, it'll come by confessing. There are many things that many of you have faith for that have a manifest because you stopped saying it. Yeah, to God, I just thank you. Are you thanking God for the prayers you prayed last week? Because he said you believe you received when you were. Well, if you received it already and you prayed, you ought to be thanking him for it. God, thank you. I thank you that you heard me and you always hear me. And you ought just to be thinking like it's already done. Well, it ain't got here yet, Reb. I'm still holding on. It don't have to get here yet. God had to say yes. He said yes. The timing for it to get here, that's where you protect your faith. You got to protect your faith that's why it's called a confession of your faith. You got saved 10 years ago, but you ain't in heaven yet. Come on, somebody. But you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? You're already equipped, got your ticket and everything, but you're still sticking around. So God doesn't want you just hanging around. He wants you conquering the territory. Amen. All right, let's go a little bit further. I'm going to cover more. So it's a very dynamic subject. So strategic necessities. We talked about strategic necessities. Now, here's what happened. For each of you, and we use the reference of David in the Bible. We use David over in the Old Testament. Praise God. And we talked about David, and I gave some references on the book written by Malcolm Gladwell where he shared about the uniqueness of David. See, there's a uniqueness about you that has to do with the strategy that God will use with you to bring the past God had promised to you. He's not giving you the strategy he's giving somebody else. He's giving you one that fits you. But it's with his word. Can you say amen? As a matter of fact, you know how people say, well, I heard from the Holy Ghost was speaking to me. Do you know that Jesus said the Holy Ghost will bring all things to your remembrance that he taught you? But you can't remember what you've never learned. Memory is based on the recall of information that was previously formatted and retained. What? I can't say it again. Well, you remembering is something you had previous exposure to. And many believers in the state where their mind needs to be renewed by the Word of God. You got to get rid of all the old junk. And you got to fill it with faith stuff, what God is saying in every area. Like that stuff I was saying from the Word of God stuff, the Word of God in Malachi 3:8-10. You know God said when you pray, he said, bring me in remembrance of my word. He said, what are you talking about? Holy, get up. What are you talking about? Come by here if I'm in the area, if I hear you. Shut up. Get up. Where'd you get that from? He said, bring me in remembrance of my word. Tell me what I told you. Pray that to me. Say that to me. Because that's what I'm going to bring into your life. That's what's going to manifest in your life. Amen. So when you look at the Word, this is where this part where you spend time in the Word of God, even in this service where we're not here that long, but giving you to where you can go and lay the foundation in your life where you can hear from God, where you can hear the Holy Spirit. When he speaks, he's going to be scriptural every time. He's going to bring to your remembrance things that you know. That's why when you learn the Word of God, amen, just like the conquest of the mind. When you get your mind, you get this a lot of junk we've had to get out. And when you confess, people can hear, amen, that you're grounded in the Word of God. Now you're ready to operate strategically with God. God's not going to depart from His Word to bless you. In other words, when I say He's not going to depart from His Word to bless you, that means He's not going to be outside of what His Word says to manifest blessings in your life. Because see, you're already blessed with all blessings in spiritual places, but to bring it in manifestation is going to be done by the Word of God that He's given you. Strategically, it's by the Word. See, in other words, the prosperity manifests is because prosperity is in your heart and in your mouth. If prosperity, amen, divine help, sound mind, you know, whatever you determine prosperity is, means you abundantly supplied, is going to manifest because it's in your heart and in your mind and your mouth. It's got to be in your heart and in your mouth. That's why you say your salvation says over in Romans 10:19, in your heart and in your mouth. That never changes. You want something to change in your life? You want your marriage to change? Well, whatever you want it to change to has to be in your heart and in your mouth. Amen. You can't be destroying your marriage with your mouth and think God's going to make it look like what it's supposed to look like. It's going to look like what's coming out your mouth. And if it's coming out your mouth, that's what's in your heart. That's what your thought life is about your relationship. Ah, he ain't going to do nothing. He ain't never going to do it. What'd you say? Don't sound like any faith to me. Ah, we don't get along. You what? You don't say. So all that has to be changed. Where'd you learn that? You heard somebody say that. You heard somebody that's been through 8 divorces talking. You saying what they're saying. You know, you talking to your girlfriend, they had a boyfriend in 50 years. Because she can't get along with nobody. And you repeating her words on the phone with her. You thinking her thoughts and speaking her words. You got to talk to winners. And they're in that book right there. Why'd you get on married? Because I got some notes up here on it, but I got to go faster. So in any case, it's very practical. And I want to keep it practical, but spiritual as well. Making the connection with the spiritual to the practical. Are you with me? All right, so here, let me get off. It was over in Mark 11:22, over there 23:24. And then when you stand praying, do what? Forgive if you have aught against any. You got to know how to forgive. You must master being above strife with people. You still bumping heads with people, not getting along? You are a baby. You have to understand the Bible says we war not against flesh and blood. That means your enemy is not another person. So don't be provoked by them. Like, you know, it's like, girl, you crazy. And laugh about it, going about your business. In other words, you tell the devil, that's not going to stop me, devil. You got to fly high. You got to rise above it. Well, so-and-so, they don't like me at the job. So you got to fly higher than that. You got to be dealing with God at such a level, it don't matter who don't like you. God loves you. Amen? They are not your immediate project. Your immediate project is not to straighten out the people that work that don't like you. That is not your project. Can you say amen? So, in any case, a strategic Christianity. Here is what strategic Christianity is. Amen. I'd be excited. I'd be wanting to get all of it in. Amen. Amen. You know how when you get ready for your message, you know, preachers get ready for the message, you know, the day they sit down and study and go over it. I don't do that. I don't have no day when I do that. Well, what day you do that? Every day. I want to talk to God every day. I want to hear everything He's saying. I want to think about what He's talking about. How you know what you're going to minister? He'll tell me. Well, when will He tell you? I don't know. It varies. Might be Tuesday. Might be Thursday. Might be at night. Might be in the morning. Whenever it is, I'm available. Amen. Well, what day you sit down and write? Any one of those days. Amen. So, what happened when you renew your mind, when your mind is renewed by the word, and it's a constant ongoing process. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's an ongoing process. Amen. Because see, the person next to you, look at the person on the left or the right, you don't know where they come from. You don't know how much control over their thought life the devil had before you met them. You don't know how much has to come out of their thought life. You really don't know that. That's not your business anyway, but God does. See, they have to submit, and they may require more CD tape time than you do. Because if you know, depending on what your age is, if you're 35, the devil been programming you 35 years. If you got saved at 35, he has been programming you for 35 years. You're going to get over that in two messages, two tapes, and four services? Not likely. So you got to commit, but he'll redeem the time with you. All right, so number one, strategic Christianity, what it has to do is knowing what to do. Now, get this. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Now, and I mentioned David, and strategic Christianity is knowing what to do. Now, when I say knowing what to do, that's what you have the word. Remember when Moses, they were in the you know, Israel, he was leading Israel, and they rebelled, and they got in sin, and God started raining the serpents down on them. I'm just mentioning the story. Can I get a witness? Let's say amen. If you don't know the story, then you heard of it, you got to look it up. Amen. So it started raining serpents on them. And what they did, they went to Moses and asked Moses that we have sinned. You know, we have sinned. Go to God and tell God to stop. Are you with me? All right, which means they did not know what to do. Okay, they were being bitten by the serpent and they were dying. But they had earned it. They had rebelled against God, and Moses had warned them, and they had rebelled, and these serpents were raining. And God told Moses what to do. Strategy. What God gave Moses was the strategy. Why didn't God just stop it? You the one raining them down. The same way you pushed the button and had them to come and eat the people, why don't you just unhook the button and stop it, God? No. He didn't do that. He said, okay, now what we need is a strategy. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need a strategy. And it involves God and his word, and you have to do it. See, it's a part that you have to do. You have to be ready because the strategy is going to be executed by you. It fits your situation. Like when God tells you to stop talking to certain people, that's a strategy. He's saying you're being overwhelmed by your continual communication and conversation with someone, amen, who's stronger in their commitment to do something different than what you ought to be doing than you are. In other words, they are overly influencing you, and you're not strong enough in what you know to resist the power of their influence in what's not good for you. Come on, somebody. That's not just for kids and boys in high school hanging with the wrong crowd. It's for grown people. That's your good friend. They ain't been to church in 3 years. But you know, I don't know about church. I don't know about these churches. Oh, okay. Okay, it's these churches. It's these churches in the Bible. Well, what about the Bible and Jesus? What about that? I don't know, girl. You can't believe everything everything you read. What? And you're spending time, let me go on. That's just an example. So anyway, Moses, so it was raining serpents. And so they told Moses, you go because you know how to talk to God and he'll listen to you. He sure will. Now, believers, you know how to talk to God and he'll listen to you, right? But he's going to tell you something when you go to him and he hears you, which he always does. He's going to tell you something to do. Hallelujah. I can stop right here. But remember when Isaiah went, the woman with the few mites and the son was going to die? And he went to God sent him to her? Okay, he said, he needed some food. He had left the raven. The raven wasn't feeding him anymore. He said, okay, go to this woman. With a woman at Zarephath, right? Right? Say yeah, even if you don't know the story. I'm not going to have to turn to it. It'll be on the CD and you can look it up because we're going fast. We speed dating this morning. Amen. So in any case, when he asked her to feed him, now was that Elijah? What he told her to do, he didn't know that until she fed him. He said, "Feed me first." Are you following the strategy? Who's going to get saved? The woman and her son and everybody else. But the strategy triggered the power of God. Turn to your neighbor and say the strategy that God gives you that you act upon will trigger the power of God in your life. All right? And what it involves, see, it involves faith. So what occurred was when she gave him the meal, you know, I won't make the story long, she gave him the meal, et cetera, and whatever it was she was making up, and she fed him first, and it wasn't enough before she said, me and my son, we're going to eat and we're going to die because it's just enough for us. And here you are, the preacher, coming asking for it. Just like I asked you about that compensation. It's right there on the envelope. I ain't got no money for you, Pastor Thomas. I know it. You ain't got enough for you either. But the anointing on my hand, on my life, will bring some into your life. Why? Because I ain't running out. I'm walking by what I'm giving you. It's already working for me. But God wanted to work for you. So that's why I got to ask you to give me something. I got to ask you to put something in my hand. What in my hand? No, don't make it personal. I'm at work. This is God's stuff here right now. I don't know your situation. I just know you don't have enough. If you don't have enough to meet the need to succeed, well, I don't like you like that. It ain't got nothing to do with that. It has to do with your faith. Come on, somebody. All right, let me go back. Well, that hand, they got the hand, a big old hand, ain't it? Can't hold much in there, baby. You know, and personally, my personal makeup is not to ask people for stuff. That's my personal makeup. I'm a hard worker. If I can work and get it, I'll do it. I won't ask people for it. But I'm not on my own. This isn't my program. I got to do what God said. He said, let the people bless you. Amen. Why? Because I want them to tap into the anointing. When I came into ministry, I ain't preached nothing but prosperity. Why? Because the devil had messed with my money, my house, everything. He was bothered with everything I had. Come on, somebody. So when I learned it, I was sharing that. I was sharing that Bible stuff. I said, here it is right here. Because I wasn't giving, I wasn't tithing. I didn't have a revelation of it. Oh, but when I got a revelation, see, what you give away, I wanted more of it, so what you give away, you have more of. The revelation. So I said, giving the revelation away in Bible studies, I got more revelation. Are you with me? And that's it. And you do the same thing. You always have a lot of what you give away. You give away stingy, you're going to have a lot of stingy. People will withhold from you in great numbers. But let me go back. So in any case, God is good. So Moses, y'all thought I forgot Moses. We're back to Moses. So they strategic. Come on, strategic. I got to go a little quicker now. So with the strategy was when Moses, let me go back to Elijah. So Elijah, and you can go to the story. So Elijah, when she fed him, she triggered the power of God, and God gave him a word for her. Well, it was for her, but it was for more than her. But the fact of it was, because it came from God, it was full of power. And he spoke it to her and said that your crude of meal will not run out. It'll be filled and not run out until the famine is over. That means you, your cousin, your uncle, everybody that come, that tap into it, it will not be empty. And it will not run out until the famine is over. That came out of his mouth. But God gave that to him at the point she gave him some of the meal and he ate it. Then she got the word. See, your connection with God, that's the key. When you tap into the anointing, that's when you get a word from God. Are you following me? One word from God, it will change your life. All right, so here, somebody says strategic. So the strategic aspect was for him to ask her for the meal. See, come on, the man of God. Somebody say the man of God. See, the man of God must strategically know how to obey God. Because God's going to give you the strategy. God, not the strategy, but he in the strategy. The strategy is a faith-driven action that produces the power of God in manifestation. I'd like to say that again if I could. Are you with me? It is. It's designed by God. As a matter of fact, the way you got saved, the way I got saved, is a strategic plan. Believe in your heart. Yeah, believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. But you say, well, that just seems like some verses of scripture. No. A man had to come and live with no sin and die on the cross, be raised from the dead in order to make that strategy available to be applied by us. You can say the word all you want. Those words couldn't even be in the Bible had Jesus not come, amen, and lived a life with no sin, amen, amen, died on the cross, went to hell, defeated the devil, raised from the dead, offered his blood. That couldn't be a strategy because there would be no power in it. It wouldn't be truth. That strategy got you saved. And that's why you had to believe it in your heart. Confess it with your mouth. And what it means to come out of this realm of the spirit into your life. That's what changes. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's after you say. All right, so am I helping anybody? This is very fundamental. Now keep in mind, people are at different levels. So I'm saying strategic. Christianity as a strategy. So when Elijah did that, it released the power of God, and all the people that came today, they didn't die of the famine. Now, who's the other character I mentioned? Moses. The people said, now, okay, get this. Here's how it worked with the people. I don't know how it worked, but get a hold of Moses. He know how to talk to God. As a matter of fact, get a hold of him quick because people dying. We have an emergency here. So they got Moses, asked Moses to go to God. Moses talked to God, tell him we wrong, you know. And so Moses went to God. God didn't just stop it. God gave Moses a strategy. He said, build a snake on the rod, you know, build a rod and construct the snake on the rod. And whoever looks on it, they'll live. Whoever doesn't look, they're going to die. God is saying, I'm not changing my mind by killing y'all. I'm not changing my mind by killing y'all, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you out. Those who tap into the strategy by faith can live. The rest of them are going to die. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Otherwise, God could have stopped all the serpents from falling, from raining from heaven. He didn't do that. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Here's the plan. That's what you have. You have a plan of God. And you got saved. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send Jesus. Amen. He sent Jesus. I'm going to hang him on that tree. Who that believeth on him shall live. They that believeth not shall be damned. That means they're going to hell. Oh, that don't seem fair. Well, yes, it is. We were guilty. Well, ain't no fair. You talking about justice? Amen. When you're righteous, you want justice. But when you're a sinner, you want mercy. Somebody say mercy.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexton Drive overpass. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org.